So why do we insist on not giving our children the gifts they really want for Christmas? This line is the opening line from an IKEA commercial that I recently came across, an experiment they did with 10 families. The video pans to a woman sitting with a child, and also her sitting with each different child, and she says to them, "Let's write a letter to the three kings." The three kings is their equivalent of our Santa Claus here in America. "Do you know what you want to ask for?" she asks them. All of the children very eagerly say yes, and we see all the different children writing their letters. They say, "This year I have been really good. I want a Wii, a piano, a unicorn, a game, a guitar." The kids hold their very long letters up for the camera, which are then folded gently and slid into envelopes to send to the three kings. When they are told that they will now write a letter to their parents, inquiring if the kids know what they would ask their parents for at Christmas time, they become very confused. A few of them even ask for clarification. But hesitantly, they begin to write. Soon after, we see the parents being told that while their children have written a letter to the three kings, they have also written one to you, their parents. The parents begin to read the letters. "Dear parents," one says, "I want you to spend more time with me, that we do experiments at home. I'd like if you paid a little bit more attention to us. I'd like it if you would have dinner with us more often, if you would tickle me and read us a story. I want us to be together one whole day. I want to play, Mama. I want you to play cowboys with me. He wants to play soccer with me," a mom says with tears in her eyes and a smile on her face. The parents are asked, "Does it surprise you that this is what they asked for Christmas?" The parents responded, "The truth is, it doesn't surprise us, not me. They have so many toys. The feeling of trying to substitute that small vacuum with a toy, to spend all of the time we have, the most we can with our children. Imagine you want to give them the best you can, and the best is yourself." If he is writing, it's because he needs it, no? One shot is of a mom reading the letter with tears in her eyes, just saying, "I can't go on." The children are then asked, "If you could only send one of the two letters, which one would you send? The one to the three kings or the one to your parents?" One child says, "Wow, that is a very difficult question." The kids think for a really long time. This is a very serious question for them. But then they begin to answer. "The one to my mother, the one to my mom and dad, the one to my parents." In fact, each child in this experiment chose to send the letter to their parents instead of the letter to the three kings. These parents thought their child's expectations at Christmas time were to be surprised with gifts when all they really wanted was time and love. It is so easy to get caught up in the materialism of Christmas. I myself have found that I give more gifts at Christmas because I don't have the time or am not making the time to spend with my family and friends. I wonder how we can shift that. I wonder in what ways you have given yourself to your loved ones this season. Our local rabbi at home in Pennsylvania, Rabbi Larry Kaplan, once gave a sermon about expectations in the Hebrew Bible. I don't remember the stories that he used to illustrate his point, but his premise was this: be careful about setting your expectations too high, because you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. And to be honest, I have been living my life that way since I heard this sermon from him, until I began writing this sermon for you. I had every intention of writing this sermon to repeat what I learned from him so many years ago, that we must keep our expectations low so that the chance of success is high. Before seminary, I was the type of person who would dream big, have high expectations, and quit every single time. Much of my life was quite the disappointment, as I'm sure you can imagine. Melanie Panola published an article on four recent studies done by Psychology Today that support the concept of the placebo effect, the idea that what you expect to happen will happen. In one study, Melanie tells us that golfers were told they had a lucky ball, and those golfers made more putts than they did using just the ordinary ball. Another study cited and done by a Harvard professor, Ellen Langer, suggests that your expectations can also affect your health and wellness. Dr. Langer told the workers at four hotels that their work provided good exercise and met the guidelines for healthy, active lifestyles. To the housekeepers at the other three hotels, Langer said nothing. 4 weeks later, she compared the two groups. The women who hadn't heard about the health benefits of their work showed no change in weight, body fat, or blood pressure. The housekeepers who heard that their work was good exercise, by contrast, lost an average of 2 pounds, 0.5% of their body fat, and experienced a 10% drop in their systolic blood pressure. It has been shown time and time again that the power of positive thinking really can change our perspective and our outcome. I believe the same to be true about expectations. Sure, we can set our expectations low to trust that we are not disappointed, but we can also set our expectations just a bit higher so that we have something to reach for. My life of disappointment began to change when I started seminary 3.5 years ago. Though let me tell you, there were many times that the going got really tough, but I did not quit. I found that because my calling in life truly is to be a minister, I shifted my expectations. I broke the cycle of disappointment and failure and followed the path that had been set before me. Considering how arduous the path of Unitarian Universalist ministry is, I'm quite amazed today that people call me Reverend. If we never dream, if we never expect more out of ourselves than meets the eye, we may never discover the mysteries and miracles of life that are just around the corner where we can't see them until we are brave enough to tread there. In our earlier reading, Naomi Remen tells us that perhaps we only think we know where we are going, as all the while we are really going somewhere quite different. I have done many things, she says, in order to achieve a valued goal, only to discover that the real goal my choices have led me toward is something else entirely. Something I could not have even known existed when I first set foot upon the path. The truth is, she says, that we are always moving toward mystery, and so we are far closer to what is real when we do what we do not, when we do not see our destination clearly. The thing is, if I set a goal that in 1 year I will create world peace, do you think I can accomplish that? No, not in the way you are thinking, not in your terms of creating world peace. But expectations are really about our perspective. So while I may actually want to create world peace, I know and you know that I have to start smaller. I read a short story on social media recently. It said, once there was a child who wanted to change the world. And at first, they thought it would be easy. But all the people they talked to were too busy to stop and listen to them. So they went off, and they did beautiful things all on their own, and pretty soon people were stopping and asking him if they could also come and do that too. That's how they figured out how worlds change. The child in this brief story wanted to change the world, so they did. Our Unitarian Universalist principles and theology call us forward to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, to believe that each person can make a difference in our world. It also calls us forward to support our community, to lend our strength to our neighbors, to believe in them and their dreams, no matter how old they are. My personal theology reminds me that truly we are better together than we ever could be alone. When people ask why I chose to become a minister, I tell them that I truly believe our Unitarian Universalist movement will one day change the world, when in fact, if I change my perspective, I realize that we already have changed the world. You have changed the world by hanging a Black Lives Matter banner at the front of your meeting house. You have changed the world by collecting food for families in need. You have changed the world by providing Christmas gifts to those less fortunate among us. In a world full of hate and fear, we change the world each day by continuing to show up with love for strangers, with resistance to evil, and with passion in our hearts to do the next right thing, knowing that our world can be better than this. As we move into this annual time of making New Year's resolutions, let's start thinking big. If your expectation is to go and change the world, figure out where that path begins and move toward it. Allow expectation to lead you forward. Sure, we'll be surprised again and again at the harm we can do to one another, and we can allow the beauty in the world to surprise us, have awe for the depth and love that each person can have for another. My expectation that together we will change the world may be a big one, but it urges me forward to take the next step, to do the next right thing, to believe in the magic and wonder of life, even when I cannot see it. Come with me, friends. Let us dream together.